Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come on.
I'm feeling good.
I'm doing great.
This is the part I never remember well, Pete.
One more question. How you feeling?
Yeah, exactly. How you feeling?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
I blanked on it.
I mean, I've done this a lot. This is the one I can't ever remember. I don't know why. It's such a brain lock for me. Good way to start the hour. Stumbling out of the gate. You might have noticed 2 hours ago, and it's been tweeted now, so it's now free game. I don't care. 2 hours ago, the 7 a.m. Eastern hour, hour two, some like to call it, had a little bit of an odd start because as we were coming back from commercial break, the computer froze, and Pete could not play anything. So I was just about to talk, come back dry, as they say, and Pete goes, hold on. Silence, silence, tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. Hits a button, and the clock that I'm looking at right now, that's counting up, 9:01, 35, 36, 37 seconds, it just reset by 30 seconds. Pete changed time.
That's right. Well, I play without delay. To go inside underneath the covers here, I play with our delay so that the listeners would hear everything on time.
This has come up before, and I still don't understand how it works. I still want to know where those 30 seconds went. I still think somewhere, somehow, you heard 30 seconds of silence. Did somebody lose 30 seconds of their life in that scenario? Is that clock in front of me not real? I kind of don't want to know the answers, I think.
I think Pete is the Sorcerer Supreme. He has the Eye of the Agamotto, and he can change time, just like Doctor Strange.
We like to call Cap the Wizard of Watch DA, but I think Pete's just like a wizard because he just tapped a button, and we went back in time 30 seconds. So for the most part, the beginning of that hour sounded correct.
Okay.
One more time?
This might be an easy way to explain it.
Okay.
We work 30 seconds ahead of what you hear on the radio. So what you're hearing right now happened 30 seconds ago because that's a way to, prevent us from anyone cursing on the air.
Sure.
Or whatnot. It's our delay. So I got out of our delay to hit our open on time because of the error.
But there still was time where nothing was playing. So I'm just not going to get it.
That's right.
Thank you, Pete.
You're welcome.
But
I am the sorcerer, or what DJ said.
Yeah, I'm going to supreme. I'm going to go with that. It makes more sense to me that you can change time than what you just tried to explain
to
me.
You're right. You're right.
So let's just go with that.
You're right.
Okay.
That's going on the resume.
A similar mental trick, I guess, is that Michael Jordan was the majority owner of the Charlotte Hornets for 13 years. And basically, they were terrible the entire time, and I'm not sure anybody noticed. So the sale of the Hornets was finalized yesterday. or at least, I'm sure I should say, approved by the NBA Board of Governors yesterday. It's not 100% done. So for now, today, Michael Jordan is still the owner of the Hornets. And after all of this, he's going to be, he have a minority stake in the team. So he's not all the way out of the Hornets business, but he's no longer going to be in charge of the Charlotte Hornets. In his time in charge of this organization, three winning seasons, two playoff appearances, five head coaches, including Steve Clifford twice. And I think the most damning thing is that in four of the last 5 years, the Hornets had a bottom five payroll. Just not trying, not spending money. Now, the future, the present, isn't terrible. LaMelo Ball is a player, and Brandon Miller has huge expectations as the number two pick in the draft a month ago. But that's how Michael Jordan leaves. Very few wins, even fewer postseason appearances, and presumably like money kept in the coffers, not spent on the roster. And when they've spent money on people, it's been different degrees of disasters. You know, Gordon Hayward has not come close to being useful for them. They had to get rid of Kemba Walker and eat a lot of money with Kemba. And I don't know, do we just simply, would we have cared about anybody overseeing that long, that much futility in Charlotte? Do we just not care in general? Or is there something specific about Jordan that made us not really harp on this? And we take a lot of shots at a lot of owners in all four major leagues, but what they do and don't do. But then also there are guys who kind of live in anonymity. I joked about this at some point when the Padres were doing all of this, trading for Soto, extending guys, handing out all this money. I didn't even know who owned the team. I didn't know the guy's name. I think his name is Peter Seidler. But I had to force myself to go look it up after they were just trade after trade, signing after signing, spending all this money, compiling all this talent. Who is this guy? Meanwhile, here where we sit, Steve Cohen's name is said every third sentence, it feels like. And then for different reasons, Dan Snyder, Jerry Jones, James Dolan, those names are front and center. Other guys, we just don't care about. So with Jordan, I just think I was indifferent to, like, nothing other than Michael Jordan owns the Hornets mattered. And because they never mattered in the court, I guess it never made us pay attention to it. Maybe some of us just love Jordan too much to not criticize him. Maybe the guys in the NBA, because again, he's Jordan, and out of respect, they just didn't take any shots at him. Maybe people are scared about pissing Jordan off based on everything we saw in the documentaries and all the grudges he holds and things he remembers and memes created about facial expressions and all that kind of stuff. Maybe we didn't want to be another, you know, Jordan's kind of next victim or get in Jordan's crosshairs, but his stewardship of the Hornets is an abject failure. Failure. And what's bothering me, and I should have seen this sooner than last night, yesterday afternoon, is that they weren't even trying to win and then failed. It wasn't like they were making moves that didn't work out. There's, well, whatever. Bottom five payroll for the last 5 years. Just going through the motions. And now two guys are giving him $3 billion to get out of the way. What am I missing here, EJ? What's the kind of prevailing MJ as owner thought in NBA circles?
I mean, it feels to me like this was the last dance of Michael Jordan's involvement with the NBA. I mean, he seemed like kind of a haphazard, kind of disinterested owner to begin with. You mentioned how he didn't really invest much in the team in terms of building a strong roster. I know it's building a team in a small market, but like, to me, this is the last we'll probably see of Michael in any major way. We know Michael loves to golf. We know he loves his cigars. We know he loves to gamble a little bit.
And he kind of loves NASCAR now, right? Doesn't he still own a NASCAR team?
Yes, partially he loves NASCAR. One? So like, I don't know. I think that that's what I took away from this, was that will we ever see Michael Jordan any major capacity linked to the NBA? I mean, remember, people didn't think he was going to show up to the NBA 75 thing.
Right.
He was at, I believe it was a NASCAR event, and he showed up at the very last second. He kind of just walked right into the building as they were making announcements. I don't know if this is a part of his life he really wants to be involved with anymore.
Yeah, you know, that is a very interesting question. I would be shocked if he didn't pop up here and there, like almost not officially all the time as a consultant, but if there's like a committee to oversee, you know, to think about things, changes to the game, does he have the commissioner's ear? But it's probably more likely, like you think, that he's just going to kind of fade in the background. But I'm still intrigued by the psychology of ignoring that he accomplished nothing as a Hornets owner.
It's crazy.
I mean, nothing.
It's crazy. And it's ironic that of the vote that came out, only one owner voted to keep Michael in place and did not want the sale to go through, and that was James Dolan of the Knicks, who maybe wanted some of that attention to be, hey, there's another terrible owner here in the NBA.
Now, we don't know Dolan's motivation, and we probably never will. This is not like, I think Dan Gilbert voted no on Matt Ishbia buying the Sixers because they are business rivals.
Yeah, he does not like him. There's real beef there.
So that I get, and that one I appreciated. We don't know yet why Dolan was the one no of 30 votes. It could just be looking for company. But I don't know if Jordan's the right guy because no one points this out. No one talks about this. Now, I don't think it tarnishes his resume or anything like that. But, I mean, it's worth saying that Jordan, by most accounts, is the greatest player ever. Right. And he wasn't even a mediocre owner.
But to me, when we think about why it doesn't get talked about more, I think a lot of times, like when it comes to how people view owners, it's how the fan base presents that owner. Like, I think to me, like the Charlotte Hornet fan base, I feel like I don't hear this groundswell of like outrage over the way he's built that team, which is essentially into the ground. Where
right.
I think every other team, you're talking about the Washington Commanders, you're talking about the Knicks, you're talking about the Clippers before when it was Don Sterling. Like, I feel like you had fans of those teams saying that this person is ruining my sports experience. Whereas with Michael, I never got that impression. Maybe, you know, he's a North Carolina boy. Maybe, like, they just felt like a little bit of a loyalty to him. He is the greatest athlete potentially of all time. So maybe they didn't want to, you know, bash him. But I think that's a big part of it. If you don't have the groundswell of frustration within your city and your fan base, then, like, am I going to go crazy about the fact that Michael Jordan's running the Hornets in the ground? It's good for me. I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah. No, you're right. If they don't care, why would we on the outside?
Right,
if they're not
exactly
making the initial noise, why would we even be listening? Sitting here, too, thinking about this, taking hockey out of the equation because it just doesn't matter to most people. But if I went around all three leagues, NFL, baseball, and NBA, I think maybe I know the fewest NBA owners. Like, if you just went and give me teams, like I can name, I think, baseball, maybe not either. Maybe it's just, maybe again, football kind of spoils the argument in that we know everything about every organization because we have so much time to discuss non-game things. And because the NFL is the NFL, there's always meetings, there's always committees, there's these guys are on TV. Like, you know, SNY here in New York, Steve Cohen's not at every Met game. And when he's at a Met game, they don't show him at every Met game. Like, you can't watch an NFL game and not get at least one, if not seven, owner shots on your screen. So maybe the NFL, again, is skewing our awareness of ownership.
Well, I think part of that is because you have NFL owners that want you to know that they're the ones kind of running the show. I feel like with Major League Baseball and the NBA, maybe to a detriment, I think most fans kind of feel like Adam Silver and Rob Manfred are running the show, probably into the ground, but I think that that's at least the impression. Whereas I think with the NFL, even though Roger Goodell is the commissioner and he's very high profile, I think that there's this concept that these NFL owners are the true stars. They're the true needle movers, and they're the ones that are really pulling the puppet strings. Roger Goodell is just a mouthpiece for them. I feel like that image is more ingrained in how the NFL is presented than it is in other sports.
We also have a lot of heritage franchises in the NFL.
That's true, too.
Where the same families have owned them for so long. They're so connected to the history of the game. And then you go to baseball, and obviously here in New York, the Steinbrenners have been not the only owners of the Yankees, but for as long as most of us can remember, they've owned the Yankees.
Right.
But almost everybody else has changed hands a lot. I mean, there's, you know, football's got the Maras, the Halas family, the Ford family. Jerry's owned the Cowboys for a long time, the Spanos family, and the Chargers for such a long time. Paul Allen's estate still owns the Seahawks. But in baseball, there's nowhere near that number of lengthy staying in the family situations like that. Because I'm not, you know, I can name, I think, most owners in baseball and basketball that are around here, around where I live, and then a couple of random ones. But I can give you almost every NFL owner.
That's amazing. Because you're right. I mean, I love the NBA, so I can name a lot of them. But I could probably name you more NFL owners than I could NBA owners.
Who owns the Thunder? The NBA.
It was the guy Bennett who sold the team.
Oh, the move them still. He's still.
That's why I know who he is.
Okay, I should have known that. That was a bad guess at a poll. Also, you know, Mark Cuban, obviously, but we know Mark Cuban because of other stuff too. He's not just the owner of the Mavericks. I know the T-Wolves changed recently, that Glenn Taylor sold, but I don't remember who bought them.
Well, it's A-Rod and Mark Lohr, I want to say.
That's my fault. That's blaming. That's just blocking out A-Rod.
My bad.
Even, you know, Steve Ballmer, we know him because he's crazy.
Right.
Because he sits courtside, baseline, and freaks out and yells about how many toilets he's got in his new arena, which is where this began. Was it not, Pete? It was Steve Ballmer yelling about toilets that got us on. And I'll point out one more thing, since neither one of them is here to refute this, even though, and they would try, but they couldn't. Their entire jumping off point that morning was incorrect. Steve Ballmer yelling about toilets, he was not yelling about ratios or protecting the people like Sean and DA, who think you should only pee in urinals
toilets!
Or use stall. He was just, it was just a raw number. It had nothing to do with toilets versus stalls.
Nothing
or
to do with that.
Nothing at all. But they thought he was their patron saint, and he was coming to the rescue, solving a problem that they have had.
Just because he said,
toilets!
Right. They were like, see, he sees the problem where people are doing the wrong thing in the wrong receptacle. That's not the problem he was solving. And I still can't believe that I emailed the Clippers for an official comment that day.
Still waiting on a word on that?
No, they wrote back.
Oh.
They wrote back.
Wow.
That was probably a good way for somebody to start a day over there. They probably got a laugh from it.
Right. Because it certainly was with the time shift. It was the first thing they saw. And very respect. I mean, wrote back right away. My email was sent at 7:52 that morning. It was March 8th. I just found it. Good morning, everybody. My apologies in advance for a fairly ridiculous request. I know that you have actual important things to address. ... We just spent an entire segment arguing about bathroom etiquette based on Mr. Ballmer's comments yesterday. Is there any chance you have actual, quotes, stats you can share with me? Number of urinals versus toilets, etc. Again, I feel horrible even asking this. Even a minute of your time would be greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. And I sent, I think, a link to the segment just so they could hear it. And a gentleman named Cooper wrote back within a couple of hours and with an attached info sheet on their building. Let me know if I can get you anything else. And I said, Cooper, you're off the hook.
Because that was the lightest email they will get that day.
That's journalism, Pete.
Yeah.
I almost feel like this show should be like unofficial Clippers fans because of them responding to that.
Toilets!
You're probably right. And that we should have more respect for them.
Right.
That they're now, we should kind of welcome them into the fold a little bit more.
Yeah, the Clippers, in my opinion, are now the aliens.
Kawhi,
PG, Tyronn Lue, all of them.
I mean, it's a little bit of a sideshow. We would fit right in there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
When we come back, one of us on the show hates the Dolphins. He's been chomping at the bit to tell you why. We will do that after this on the DA Show on CBS Sports.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radio. So I think what we might do this week, and by the way, it's Bogusian for DA, who is off this week. One of the ideas we had to carry us through these 5 days, we might pick an NFL team every day who's kind of facing a make-or-break season. Opinions are varied. They could go one way, they could go to the other, and the keys to avoiding the downfall there. We wouldn't give it a name. We can't create segments without DA, but it might be a theme this week. And this was the brainchild of the man who hates the Miami Dolphins pre-2023, and that man is Peter the Body Bilotti. The floor is yours. The network thanks you in advance for your hot takes.
No, I've seen lately the whole discussion about who's going to win each division, and the AFC East comes up, and it's a hot-button issue because Rodgers with the Jets, and you have the Bills who are a mainstay, and then the Dolphins. I've seen many people predict and call for the Dolphins to win the division, which boggles my mind. Coming off the fact, for one simple thing, the quarterback situation. You could have as many great players on a roster as you can in the NFL. The Jets proved that last year.
Yep.
If you don't have a quarterback who is healthy the entire season, you have a problem. So what will Tua be? And Mike White, I like Mike White, but is he a suitable solution if Tua goes down again? That's a major issue. And for people to just say, hey, the Bills don't, forget about the Bills and forget about the Jets now with Rodgers, we're just going to put the Dolphins as a division winner, I think it's a little bit of a hot takey type thing.
Is your Tua concern only health?
Yes.
Or is it also him as a player?
Well, I mean, right now it's just health.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as a player, we haven't really had the ability to evaluate him as a player for like the last year, if you really think about it.
Right.
My concern is his health, and I think they have a major issue with it. And it's still, I mean, those injuries last year, we saw it on national television. It still sticks in my head.
Yeah.
It would bother me as a if I was a Dolphin fan, it would bother me that it's still an uncertainty.
And I still don't know like how to take him admitting that he thought about not playing again. Because on one hand, that's a very obvious thought when you've had back-to-back horrible brain injuries, which is what he had with concussions. And we know how long they linger and how bad they are. And, you know, for a long time, I thought the science was you're not prone to having, after your first one, it doesn't make you more prone to have others. That
right.
They just continue to kind of be bad luck, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That one doesn't lead to the other. But now I believe the thought is that once you have one, you are more susceptible to others.
Of course.
Which is where he is now. So I get on one hand going, man, like, I need to protect myself. Is this worth it? But on the other hand, there's also the idea of once you start thinking about it, like, you're almost halfway out the door to begin with.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it's almost a thought you don't want to have because it changes the overall dynamic.
Is he totally in?
Right. Is he able to play freely and not think, because that's what, no matter what the injury is, you have to get back to that place where you're just playing. You're not worrying about your knee buckling again or your hip hurting or somebody knocking your head off the turf again. And if you can't get back into that place, you can't be the best version of you. And it is, I mean, it might be the number one question in the NFL this year, uh-huh. even more so than Rodgers. If you believe the Dolphins are better than the Jets otherwise, if you believe the Dolphins season depends on Tua more than the Jets season relies on Rodgers, then this is the number one question in the NFL, whether he can play 17-plus games.
Right, because if he could play and there was no issue about health and we were just evaluating his playing ability, those three teams, the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins, would be brawling for the top spot.
Yes.
And it would be no question. And it would be a toss-up for that first-place position.
Yeah.
But, look, if that was me, if I had gotten hurt the way he did, and I'm laying on the field and my hand is all yeah. cramped up, I would be done. I would not be able to do it again anymore. It's frightening. I watched it, and after that, when they had replays and when they talked about it, I couldn't watch it. It was hard for me to watch.
And I know people don't want to put the Jets in that conversation, but I'm with about who could win the division, but I'm with you on it's the three of them.
Yep.
All best case scenario, the three of them are borderline equal. And that's the other kind of caveat to this is the Bills have kind of come back to the pack. They've allowed the Dolphins and the Jets to catch them almost as much as the Jets and Dolphins have made changes to catch the Bills. The Bills have opened the door. Some of their shortcomings in the postseason, a couple of their changes roster-wise. And, you know, we still, or at least this matters to me at least, I don't love the idea of any head coach also being a coordinator.
No.
I don't like Mike McCarthy running the Cowboy offense, and I don't like Sean McDermott running the Bills' defense, especially if that was the reason why Leslie Frazier is not doing it. If he's doing it because Leslie couldn't, that's one thing. But if he's doing it because he wanted to and Leslie didn't want to, and this is what the result was, which was what Michael Lombardi told us on this show in the last month or so, mm-hmm. that this was Sean's idea, Leslie pushed back, and that's why he took this kind of sabbatical year. I more times than not, that doesn't work. And the Bills don't have any room for error now because of the Dolphins and the Jets. You slip a little bit on either side of the ball because you're working some things out or you lose a game early to one of those two teams. That changes the entire dynamic of a long season in that division. The AFCs to me is, it feels a little like the AFC West last year. We were so focused on, you know, can somebody actually beat the Chiefs this year? What's KC going to be like without Tyreek Hill? These are four good teams. They're all going to be in playoff contention, and that didn't work out well. But now we fast forward to this division, and this is, to me, without question, the most fascinating division in the NFL. I don't think there's a number to a close number two here because of these three teams, because of Rodgers, because of Tua, and because of whatever the heck's going on in New England.
Right. Well, yeah, we don't know if the Patriots aren't at that level right now, but you can never count out a Belichick team. Even though the quarterback situation is very questionable and the roster situation is very questionable, it's still Belichick. So there's still an ability to surprise. So it's not like it's three teams and a complete dog team at the bottom.
Right.
It's a team that could upset in the Patriots and three teams that have superior talent on paper.
But it's also a team that, could go north, go in the right direction, but could also go the other way, or just keep spinning its tires. And now we're having conversations like we're starting to have now about how legitimately hot Belichick's seat is.
Yeah.
I mean, we could, if these reports now are true about whatever, however you want to describe it, that there's frustration, disconnect, the end is near-ish. And if this year's not going well and Mac Jones doesn't have any kind of improvement, we're possibly at the finish line of one of the best coaching tenures in NFL in sports history.
Now, if we're at that finish line and the Patriots make the call, is Belichick somewhere else after the season? I can't see him coaching anywhere else. I could see him kind of like what Parcells did, being in a front office, per se, because I don't think he's going to be like Parcells was with the Cowboys and going to a team like that. I could see Bill in a front office.
Right.
But that's it.
I always thought that was going to be the transition.
Right.
That they would kind of both come to the agreement where I don't want to do this anymore. It's not working anymore. We're long past Brady. You become the GM, whether it's McDaniels or the other lead assistant that's underneath him takes over the head coaching job, and it's like about continuity. Now it feels more like clean break, and they do things completely different. Right, and then I don't know what Bill does.
Because McDaniels is in Oakland, Las Vegas.
And maybe proving he shouldn't be the head coach anywhere.
But gone. So, you got Bill O'Brien around. I mean, I don't think he's the heir apparent. It's probably going to be, like you said, a clean slate. Wipe it all clean. And Robert Kraft is probably very eager to win another title before he calls it a career.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a little bit of eagerness on his part.
He certainly wants to win one without Brady.
Yes.
Not in the same way that maybe Belichick does, or Brady wanted to win without them.
Well, he might want to win without both of them.
That's true, too. Cigar-smoking dude tweeted in, kind sir, good morning. I lived in Charlotte for 20 years, and it has never been a sports-crazy city. There are so many transplants here that they stay local to their home teams. I guess their original teams. MJ was never very warm and seemed disconnected from the city. Hashtag bad teams. That goes back to the open of the hour, wondering why Michael Jordan was allowed to be so bad at owning the Hornets for so long with the sale approved by NBA Board of Governors over the weekend.
Well, when you see a big player involved in the front office and they fail, usually you have to be in a big market, one of the top markets, to really capture how bad it is. I mean, look at Isaiah. Isaiah, when he was with the Knicks, Phil Jackson when he was at the Knicks.
True. Or had Jordan played in Charlotte.
Right. Right. I mean, because people might remember more Jordan as a Wizard than him owning the Hornets.
Yeah. Like if he somehow owned the Bulls and they were bad for a decade, he wouldn't have owned the team for a decade possibly.
He wouldn't. Yeah. And the smart thing, and I think he knows this, he would never own the Bulls. He might be involved in the Bulls, but he never would be a part of the day to day.
Do you remember that they were the Bobcats because of Bob Johnson?
Their first coach was Bernie Bickerstaff, right?
Yes.
Their very first coach, that's right.
Yep.
Right, that's enough Hornets basketball. We'll check in at the end of next season, right? I forgot to put Stun to a News in the rundown. I had a time in my mind. It was never in the rundown. It'll be right now, though, after headlines. Here's Emmanuel.
Andrew, if you bet on American Brian Harman to win the Open Championship entering the weekend, you're probably sitting pretty. He was a 125-1 underdog, but won his first major at age 36, oldest first-time major winner since Sergio Garcia at the Masters in 2017. Garcia was 37 at the time. Harman finished 13 under and won comfortably.
It just feels right. Don't know why. Feels right. I have been frustrated that I haven't won more. I felt like that that sometimes you know, maybe I didn't get the credit I deserve. So it's just nice. Like I said, for a week, it all came together. Putter worked.
And at age 36, Harman gets it done. Two new baseball Hall of Fame inductees, Fred McGriff, Scott Rowland, taking their place in Cooperstown. For McGriff, 493 career homers, passed over when he was on the writer's ballot, got in via the Veterans Committee. Surreal for him.
My goal was simply to make it to the big leagues. I exceeded every expectation I could ever imagine, and then some. And now to have a plaque forever hanging in the National Baseball Hall of Fame, it's unbelievable.
After the speeches, the festivities yesterday, and baseball, Orioles now the team to beat in the AL East in late July. This weekend they went to Tampa, took 3 out of 4 from the Rays in the series finale. Orioles 5, Rays 3, Ryan O'Hearn, the go-ahead homer in the sixth inning. Gunnar Henderson also went deep, 16th homer for the rookie. Orioles now 2 games up on the Rays for first place, 4 in the loss column. So if you're a team like that, all your prospects are coming up and producing, you're clearly for real, but you have a million prospects still to come seemingly. Andrew, are you buyers at the deadline?
I got distracted by the Jets releasing the
no worries.
The throwbacks that we're discussing. What's your question? Which team are we talking about?
The Orioles, who have all their prospects up and succeeding, but have more to come. They're like ahead of schedule, but they're on schedule because they're clearly for real. Would you buy?
Yes. We brought this up last week. They should absolutely be in on Ohtani.
That would be a team that it would be worth getting him for even half a season.
Yep. You trade him for two months of him, never even thinking about signing him. The price is as low as it could be for him.
And it won't decimate their farm system.
No.
Because they have so many guys. I think they could get away with holding on to like a Jackson Holliday, who's the number one prospect in baseball, and getting Ohtani.
Yeah. I think this time last year, you'd have to have traded Holliday for him.
Right.
I think this year you say, absolutely not. He's not available.
With no team control, number one prospect. Yeah. It was just their top prospect they would, but he's a top prospect in all of baseball.
And he's so bleeping good.
He's 19.
Already in double A, right?
In double A, and he's hitting like, I think, close to 400 in double A, right?
Yeah.
So he may be a September call-up this year. That's actually not unforeseeable.
But I would absolutely, even the Reds. I just was reading a tweet on TV that the Reds are shopping Jonathan India, their second baseman, because they
and he's a great player.
He was the rookie of the year because they want a starter for now because you can't ever.
And they have no pitching.
No,
so
no
that
pitching.
Makes sense.
And because you can never bet. There's no guarantee next year. Right now, they are in the playoff chase. They are in the division hunt.
The league's wide open too.
Go get somebody. Absolutely, go get somebody.
Because there's no guarantee next year.
Of course.
You have a good year next year, but you're not necessarily going to be in a first place and in position to make a run.
And they both, them and the Orioles, both have so many prospects. Unless they, Holliday in Baltimore, the dude they got from the Mariners for Luis Castillo in Cincinnati, Noel V. Marte, I think his name is. Other than those two guys, that's one each spot, you're not going to miss anybody. You'll be fine without the 19-year-old right-hander in Altoona if you're bringing in Ohtani or a frontline starter for your team.
And we know this, but Ohtani helps you on two sides of the ball.
That as well.
It puts you over the top. Braves beat the Brewers 4-2. Ozzie Albies to go ahead 3-run homer in the 8th. Phillies 4-run top of the 10th. Outlasted the Guardians 8-5 in Cleveland. Luis Arraez, a 3-hit day for the Marlins, who snapped an 8-game losing streak. Walk-off single, the 3rd hit for Arraez. Marlins beat the Rockies 3-2. Astros 3, A's 2 in Oakland. Mauricio Dubon go-ahead solo shot in the top of the 9th. In Texas, Dodgers jumped out to a 4-0 first inning lead. Max Muncy a grand slam, but that's the last time the Dodgers scored rest of the way. Rangers with 8 unanswered runs. And the first 4 innings alone erased the Dodgers 8-4.
Obviously, we wanted to get this one. Last thing we wanted to do is get swept, and that's a very good club over there, and get down 4-0 in the first inning, and how they bounce back, good for them.
That for manager Bruce Bochy. Angels edged the Pirates 7-5, home run number 36 for the guy we're talking about, Shohei Ohtani. Blue Jays avoided a sweep in Seattle, saved off the Mariners 4-3. 3 one-run games this weekend. Reds swept the Diamondbacks 7-3. Shopping Jonathan India. Jake Fraley go-ahead RBI double in the 6th inning. Manager David Bell, his team not getting too down after they were swept by the Brewers last week. Right back on track.
The key really is to not do anything different. You don't you don't try harder or anything like that, but we don't have to do anything different. We go out and play our absolute best, and we'll see how it ends up, but we have a lot of confidence right now with the way we're playing.
And a few more here. Cubs 7, Cardinals 2, red hot Cody Bellinger is 14th homer. Nationals down the Giants 6-1. Lane Thomas club record tying 4 stolen bases. Tigers over the Padres 3-1. Red Sox 6, Mets 1. Yankees swept the Royals in the Bronx 8-5 the final. Twins rallied to top the White Sox 5-4 in 10 innings. So the Red Sox and the Yankees tied for last in the AL East 53-47. Twins first in the Central 52-48.
Breaking news, Pete's unhappy about something. Back to Bilotti we go.
No, it's about the jet uniforms.
So if you haven't seen them, guys, they're switching back to, I guess these are what, the 80s?
These are going
to
be those retro games.
Right,
the
two retro games. Week one including.
Yes.
Week one, week four, early and often, and then that's it. But they're all white, green numerals, green trim around the neck, and the green helmet that says Jets in that kind of slanted...
They're old school.
Plain wing. Yeah, what Ken O'Brien wore. That's the reference point to me,
right.
Basically.
Well, I like them changing it up.
But what's the problem, Pete?
I feel like that's not the shade on the helmet.
Yeah, it should be a Kelly green.
They had the shade from this year as the shade on the helmet. I don't
know. Oh, no, that's a gimmick. You got to actually model it after the old uniforms if you're going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? I'd rather the green. And instead of the white.
Oh, you want green jersey?
Yeah.
Instead of all white? See, yes. I like the all white unis.
Nah.
Alabama in all white, Penn State in all white, the Browns in all white.
The stock exchange was them on the stock exchange with the green uniforms.
Wow.
Fair. But, and again, they cannot keep wearing what they're wearing now.
No, they're horrible.
This is still a massive upgrade.
Still have the shade of the helmet. From this uniform on this retro one, which is bothering me.
I think it's really bothering Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. It's
right,
a different color.
Yeah, you're really mad about this.
Come on. That's what I'm stunned to.
I'm not
stunned to that because it's a Jets.
Oh, we got to get actually stunned here.
Go.
Let's do it.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
So there's a search going on for a rodeo goat that has been missing for more than a week, and the residents of a rural South Texas county are uniting over this. They're fascinated by it, using horses, ATVs, even contemplating utilizing a helicopter to find this rodeo goat. The goat escaped from a pen in the county's rodeo arena near Raymondville, Texas on July 15th after a youth rodeo. People have been looking through cotton and sugarcane fields to find it. Local businesses have reportedly donated nearly 90 prizes and gifts worth more than $5,000, including brisket, salon services. That'll be the reward for the person who finds a goat. Yesterday, possible goat tracks were spotted in a cotton field near Lyford, south of Raymondville, and apparently the town has named this goat. When the goat first went missing, it didn't have a name. Well, maybe it did, but no one knew the name. But after a poll in the Facebook page of the town fair that it went missing at, the goat was named Willie, short for Willacy County, where the goat went missing. The goat has a name, and the Savage County officials said, you know, they're not sure if Willie is a boy or a girl. So that's what we're doing here.
So I've got a lot of questions. What does a rodeo goat do? Are kids riding the goat instead of a horse because they're small? Is the goat used to, like, distract the animals when their rodeo's not going well? What does a rodeo goat do?
That was an interesting detail to me, in addition to the fact that it's a youth rodeo.
Right.
Like, what's a youth rodeo?
Kids... You know, young kids doing it, and they can't be on a horse or a pony, I guess. Do they ride the goat and try to stay rope the goat?
Are they safer?
I guess
a goat is safer than riding a bull.
Maybe it's
I guess.
A little slow. Clearly, that it's slower, it's smaller. And if you're trying to like lasso the goat, maybe that's easier for a kid than one of those. You know, a smaller horse or one of those weird like practice ones that the goat runs around a little bit and you lasso it, but. I feel like it's now the official stance of this show that once you escape from something like this, you're free. You've earned your freedom. You get out, that's it. We've had bulls like running out of slaughterhouses, other animals getting out of the farm. If you've gotten out of your pen and you've stayed on the loose for this long, Godspeed. Well,
it's also a safety thing, too, because if the bull or goat or whatever animal goes and eats something contaminated or whatever, that actually could affect whatever food we're eating. So that's apparently.
And let's say this was a bull.
That's part of the reason why.
A bull or an animal like that that got loose. That's a real, like, geez, somebody might get hurt.
Yeah.
A goat, I'm not sure. Plus, I almost feel bad. Like, they're going through all these efforts to track down the goat. I don't think the goat wants to return.
Probably not. All right, we got to run. Pete's giving me the hand signal, not the stretch, the get out of here quick thing. Epic fail, maybe, next on CBS Sports Radio.
Here's the epic fail.
And it's our unique, odd memories of Friday's show. My second favorite part, and I saw it all morning long. Intern Anna was here on Friday.
Yes.
And she sat in the chair that Brooke was in a minute ago. And again, this is a four-hour show.
Oh, no.
Of memories, emotion.
My emotion!
Laughing, parents sitting in the front row.
I am the father.
Going a decade of memories, decade of the buffoon, half year of the buffoon. Other people were coming in to look at the show and watch.
Really, I was trying to feed Raz his healthiest meal in years.
There was so much going on. There was so much emotion. It may be the most significant show in DA history. And she sat there and did not react to anything.
Boring!
Had her phone out. And of course she should. We're strangers to her. She's a 20-whatever-year-old college student. Hoping we don't ask her to cut tape or whatever.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
So much more to digest from Friday's show. We'll do that throughout the week here. We'll do it on the PGP as well. We got to run now. You hear the music. I think we're done unless Pete can give us a bonus 30 seconds. Thanks to Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News. Thanks to EJ, to Pete, to Emmanuel, to intern Brooke. And thanks to you for listening. Have a great Monday. We'll see you again tomorrow. For now, the Mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.